What is going on, everybody? Welcome. Welcome, everybody, into the Overreaction Buffalo Sports Show, brought to you exclusively on the Overreaction Sports Network. I am Joe Miller, and you can find me on Twitter at Joe Miller Wired. Please do me a favor. Please like, please subscribe, whatever platform you are consuming this podcast on. Please do me a favor. Please like, please subscribe. Tell a friend, right? Retweet this thing. Share it on Facebook. Let people know that we're out here, that we're doing our thing. It's good to have everybody. As we always like to say here on the Overreaction Show, whether this podcast finds you around a cup of coffee, at the gym with your AirPods in, on the drive to work, or watching me live right now, let me and Jerry just say one more time, welcome. And with welcome. That, Jerry, how are you, buddy?
I am doing well. I'm okay. Tomorrow is tax day.
Yes, it is. Mine are done. So, mine got done.
Mine are done too, but you know, we're in the process of trying to get everything signed and trying to get this electronically done here. And so I lost track of time, Joe. I apologize. Plus, it's Masters Week, my man.
And you sent me the voicemail. Like, I called you like at like 8:02, and I was like, you have been sent a voicemail. And it's like, all right.
I don't even think I sent you a voicemail. I just totally, absolutely ignored you.
No worries. No worries.
I apologize to you. I apologize to everybody else too, because your time is valuable.
Well, it's good to have you alongside me. It's we're gonna miss John tonight. But John is off doing something Johnish. I don't know, but it's good to have you with me, Jerry. So, Jerry, this is what's going on. We're going to talk about some things on this show this evening. First of all, OTAs, we're going to hit that real quick, and then we're going to talk. The schedule is to talk about basically who's on top right now.
Right.
When you look at these rosters in the AFC East, like the Buffalo Bills, four-time AFC East champs, yada, yada, yada. We all know the script. But there's a lot that they have lost. They've got some, holes to fill. And the other teams have, other than the Patriots, have done quite a bit as well. So we're going to talk about that. However, we're not going to get super deep into it because we want to do a full team breakdown per AFC East team in the coming weeks. Exactly. Probably in that June timeframe when like nothing is going on. So when it's like dead season time and there's really nothing to talk about, we're going to bring on more than likely a beat reporter from each team, the Dolphins, the Jets, and the Patriots. And we're going to break down their roster, talk about what they think, and kind of get a candid idea of how they feel about their team and what their team is going to do. But before we do that, things are very different in the NFL now, Jerry, than when you played. I think you know that.
They get paid a lot more money than I do.
And they work a lot less.
Yes,
than when you did. So it was funny because I was at church today, and all of a sudden players started showing up at church today, and I was like, "What is happening?" And they're like, "Oh, OTA start tomorrow." And I was like, "Wait, what do you mean OTA start tomorrow?" I was like, "I'm like, what kind of a content creator am I that I don't even know that OTA start tomorrow?" But we have been so engrossed in this Stephon Diggs drama that like, I feel like the mafia, the content creators, everybody's just kind of like, and it's not like there's like great organized team activities. Like they're not going to be out there and like running plays and stuff like that. But still, like the fact that like the players are arriving voluntarily at One Bills Drive to start this stuff is like, I was surprised. I was like, "Oh, how long are you going to be in town for?" And they were like, "Until June." And I'm like, "Oh, all right."
Joe, we're like 145 days away from the season starting. Do you realize that?
Did you do the math?
Yeah. I mean, I actually saw it the other day. But we're literally like 145 days away, 140 days away. I mean, it's here. So OTA starting on Monday, while it seems early, it's not. They'll get the veteran OTA out of the way. They'll have the draft. They'll bring the draft picks in, have the rookie camp, yep, which I think is kind of a waste of time. But you know, some teams still do it. Obviously the Bills still do it. Mm-hmm. And you know, kind of get their feet wet, understand what's going on, learn the outer crust of the offensive and defensive playbooks, because there's just not enough time to get fully entrenched in that, just, you know, theory and what the team wants to do. And they'll start evaluating from that point on. I mean, that's the thing. Tomorrow, evaluations start. Every day you're on the field, every day you're in the building, you are evaluated, and those evaluations begin tomorrow.
Yeah, so I've got the breakdown for you, and this is better than Camp Marv. And I've heard that Camp Marv was a legendary back in the day. So workouts cannot begin prior to the first Monday in April for clubs with a new head coach, or the third Monday in April for all other clubs. Workouts are strictly voluntary. Club officials cannot indicate workouts or anything other than voluntary, or are anything other than voluntary. Yeah. Maximum, it gets better. Maximum 4 workouts per week, no weekends, with 1 week being the mandatory mini camp, not permitted on the weekends. Contact work is prohibited in all workouts. For example, live blocking, tackling, pass rushing, bump and run, etc. Intensity and tempo of drills should be at a level conducive to learning, with players' safety as the highest priority. Now, here's the thing. The Bills are in the first 2 weeks of OTAs, which is called phase one. Do you want that information? Do you want what phase one is?
I don't really need it.
I'm going to give it to the listeners, just because there's a line in here that's awesome. So
yes, please do.
Phase one, 2 weeks, right? Starting tomorrow or today, if you're listening to this in podcast form on Monday, limited to strength and conditioning activities, quote unquote, dead ball. Only strength and conditioning coaches are allowed on the field. They cannot interact with the coaching staff at all on the field. 90 minutes maximum on the field. Clubs can only specify 2 hours for players to be at the facility, which basically says, I can only tell you to be here between 1 and 3. I can't tell you that you got to be here between 1 and 4 or 12 and 3. It's only 2 hours, and the players get to choose the other 2 hours for weights and for their workouts. So effectively, the team could say 8 to 10, and then the player could come back at midnight and work out. This is the fun part. They can go through dead ball explanations. QBs can throw, or I should say, this is the dead ball explanation as far as what can happen on the field when they're out there for 90 minutes. QBs can throw to receivers with no coverage. Kickers and punters can kick, but players cannot field the ball, and no snappers or holders can be involved. Long snappers can only snap into a net.
Yes.
What is that?
Or to each other.
And that's not even the big one. I don't even like, this is the last line of phase one. Defensive players may not catch balls at all, regardless of who is throwing them. So they can't even go out on the field and be like, Jerry, yes, go long.
Yes.
like me as a corner, yes, or me as a, I don't know, tight end. I can't tell you, Jerry, as a corner to go long.
Hey, run. Well, basically what you're looking at, Joe, is this, okay? This is a way for the teams to get players back in the building, to look at them, physically see them and say, okay, you're working out, you're not working out. They get to kind of do a pre-evaluation or an assessment,
right,
of where these guys are. Injured guys coming in that haven't been around, they can assess how the healing process is going, seeing how off-season surgeries are clearing up, all that kind of thing. You know, I would have to think there's probably some fudging of this. Usually the players are fine until there's some sort of contact involved. If they mistakenly run into one another, then phone calls are made to the league, okay? Well, actually, phone calls are made to the NFLPA, which then makes the phone call to the league, because we know that numerous times teams get turned in by players for not following the rules. But really, the whole part of this is to get guys in the building, to see them work out, just physically look at them and see how they are at this point in the offseason.
Right. So it's just funny that they're it's down to the letter of the law of defensive players cannot play catch.
Well, what's new? I mean, they can't play catch anyway. That's why they play defense.
That's not completely true.
I mean, we're literally solidifying stereotypes, right?
Milano can catch a football.
This is basically verifying what we all believe.
If I'm going to take a stump and argue, maybe if they were allowed to catch in phase one of OTAs, they would intercept more footballs.
If you really want to go one step further, have a spelling bee with the defense and the offense and see who wins. I would venture to guess the offense would win.
Listen, I've been doing a show with John Fina for years, and I'm very much aware that John Fina, much like you apparently, feels like that the smartest players on the football field are the offensive linemen.
Well, like I said the other day, Joe, there's been 5 or 6 presidents of the United States, and all of them played offensive line.
Is that true?
That is true. Yes, that is very true. Now, I have an anomaly. I have an outlier in my house. I have a defensive end that's my son that's a 375 in finance.
And a wide receiver.
He will graduate in 3.5 years. He was a misplaced offensive player that is playing defense.
Gotcha.
He probably, if we had fullbacks in abundance in today's football, that might be where he played. So he would be an offensive player.
Gotcha. Interestingly enough. So let's pivot. So everybody that's tuned in, and if you're tuning in late on YouTube or on Twitter or Facebook, you are tuned into the Overreaction Buffalo Sports Show. We are going to jump over real quick, and we're going to briefly hit this because we've only got so much time, and there's a lot of information, but we're going to talk about effectively who is the king of the AFC East right now on paper based on roster subtractions and effectively additions. Now, who do you want me to give you first? I've got the Bills, I've got the Jets, I've got the Dolphins, and then obviously the Patriots, and I don't even, we could probably punt on the Patriots, but where would you like to start?
Well, you can give me the Bills first because I've already got my answer queued up.
Well, I want to give you all of them and then we'll decide, I think, is how we should do this. So, like, I'll give you the lists.
Okay.
And then and with each list, we'll talk about, oh, was this interesting or was that interesting? And if there's not anything interesting, we'll move on. And then at the end of it, we'll talk about maybe.
Well, you want short abbreviated shows. So I was getting ready to make it about 18 minutes with my answer, but go ahead, please continue.
I don't want short abbreviated shows. YouTube and algorithms want short abbreviated shows. I'm going to go through this fast. If you need me to repeat something, please stop me. I know that I talk fast. I know that I mumble. My family tells me all the time.
Gotcha.
Buffalo Bills 2024 free agents, Bills unrestricted free agents that have signed elsewhere. We know that they've lost Gabe Davis, Leonard Floyd, Dane Jackson. And if you didn't know, you know that now. This is good information for the listeners who maybe haven't been paying attention. Wait, Dane Jackson's gone? Yes, Dane Jackson is no longer a Buffalo Bill. Unrestricted free agents signed elsewhere. Trent Sherfield has signed with the Minnesota Vikings. Oh, I could probably give you that. So Gabe Davis signed with the Jaguars. Leonard Floyd signed with the 49ers, so he goes back to the NFC West. Dane Jackson got a huge contract for the player that he is from the Carolina Panthers. Trent Sherfield signed with the Vikings. Unrestricted free agents that have signed elsewhere. Tyrell Dotson, who you guys talked about on Thursday, signed with the Seattle Seahawks. He also got a pretty decent bag for the player that he was prior to the 2023 season. Puna Ford signed with the Chargers. Tim Settle signed with the Houston Texans. Jordan Phillips signed with the New York Giants. And that recently happened. That happened last week. The Buffalo Bills, they have released these players and they've signed elsewhere. Jordan Poyer, as we know, signed with the Miami Dolphins. Mitch Morse, as we know, signed with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Saran Neal signed also with the Miami Dolphins, who is a key special teams player and a backup to Taron Johnson. Naheem Hines was released. He signed with the Cleveland Browns. There's questions as to whether or not he'll even be ready for the season this year, along with the next player, Tre'Davious White. If you've been living under a rock, Tre'Davious White is no longer a Buffalo Bill. He was released, and he recently signed with the Los Angeles Rams, which was somewhat of a surprise to some people. Some people thought that he might possibly retire, but he didn't. He's going to keep playing, which is good. Damian Harris retired from the NFL. And then free agents that the Bills have lost that are still available: Micah Hyde, Linville Joseph, Shaq Lawson, Tyler Medikevich, and Deontay Hardy, I think, just got signed. I think it's not on this list, but he was just signed. Latavius Murray, who's 1,000 years old. And then quarterback Kyle Allen, who I think just got married, possibly. I'm not sure.
Well, the Bills have signed Mac Hollins. They've signed Curtis Samuel. Here it is.
Yep, I've got the list. Yeah, okay, so Mitch Trubisky, Matt Hawk, Nicholas Morrow, Mac Hollins, who's a wide receiver, Curtis Samuel, who's a wide receiver, Casey Tuhill, defensive end, Mike Edwards, safety, Mike Clapp, offensive line, and then Austin Johnson, defensive line. And then the Bills have re-signed A.J. Epinesa, Daquan Jones, Taylor Rapp, Quentin Morris, Cam Lewis, and then Ty Johnson. So that's the Buffalo Bills. So any overarching thoughts about the Bills roster? That was a long list. And these are all going to be somewhat long, and I don't really know how to break them up to make them palatable.
No, actually, we talked a little bit about this the other day. I think what the Bills have done is done a really good job of taking veterans from other teams that are guys that have experience. Like, for instance, Nicholas Morrow comes over from the Eagles. I think he started like 12 games last year. Austin Johnson was with the Chargers, 8-year guy. Deshaun Williams, a 5-year player, started 10 games. So they brought some guys in that are going to fill some roles as backups and role players. So they're not necessarily relying so much on the rookies of the draft. So I think they've done a good job of backfilling with guys they can rely on that have game experience in the NFL and then they'll go ahead and hit their, you know, not so much pressure on the draft picks, which, by the way, is the MO of the Bills, because McDermott does not like to throw rookies in right away, which John and I think you do as well, both all three of us disagree on.
Yeah,
but it looks like they have done a good job of backfilling.
So I'm going to give you abbreviated answers for the other three teams. So it's not going to be quite as extensive, because I don't think we necessarily care about restricted free agents that have left the Jets, right? For all intents and purposes. Who the Jets have signed, that's important. Cornerback Isaiah Oliver, offensive guard John Simpson, defensive tackle Javon Kinlaw, quarterback Tyrod Taylor, defensive tackle Leki Futu, offensive tackle Tyron Smith, and then wide receiver Mike Williams. Now, Mike Williams is a big name.
Yes.
Alongside Garrett Wilson.
And I think you could also throw re-signing or signing Aaron Rodgers in there, because you've only played 17 seconds of a season.
Yes.
He's almost like another free agent as well.
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers is coming back. He should be healthy. Chuck Clark, safety, tight end Kenny Yeboah, Greg Zuerlein, who's a kicker, punter Thomas Morstead, linebacker CJ Mosley returns, offensive lineman Jake Hansen, defensive tackle Solomon Thomas, Jalen Holmes, and then safety Ashton Davis. The only notable cut for them is CJ Uzama, who I actually think is very interesting, because they brought him in kind of on a big deal off of Cincinnati when he had that big year with Cincinnati. I mean, he was all the talk on Good Morning Football for a long time. Two seasons ago. The biggest thing here for me is kind of like that offensive tackle, the Tyron Smith deal, who's an 8-time Pro Bowler. He's going to protect Aaron Rodgers' blind side, but he's also 33 years old. He's got some miles in there, right? So it's kind of they've got a 1-year stopgap. He's got a $20 million max, $6.5 million guaranteed. The question is he going to be able to hold up? My guess is yes. He's probably going to be fine.
The only reason the Cowboys let him go is because he hasn't held up. If you look at Tyron Smith over the last like four seasons, he's had major injury issues this latter part of his career. So Tyron Smith coming in and them expecting him to play 17 games, to me, is far-fetched. He hasn't played 17 games, I don't think, ever. He's been on the injury list. He's been beat up.
But when he plays, he's good.
When he plays, he's very good. But when is he going to play?
Tracy Fichter asks, where is John Fina? And just so everybody kind of knows, as we're still kind of getting into the rhythm of this thing, through the offseason, this is very much going to be kind of a round robin between the three of us. So whoever can make it to an episode is going to make it. So tonight, it's you, unfortunately, Tracy, have me and Jerry. No John Fina. Thursday was Jerry and John. Last week, Tuesday, it was just me. And then last week on Sunday, it was the three of us. And we'll see. I'll go through the schedule for On the Beat when we get there. But just so everybody kind of knows, it's kind of a round robin. Now, the Dolphins. The Dolphins are going to be interesting because there's a lot. They have made a lot of moves. Like, it's crazy. And a lot of these guys I've never heard of before. Richard McCaracraft, Jack Driscoll. So he's wide receiver, Jack Driscoll, offensive line, Isaiah Wynn, guard. Braxton Berrios, that's a big name, wide receiver. Jonathan Harris, defensive lineman. Benito Jones, defensive tackle. Jody Forson, tight end. Kendall Fuller, cornerback. Like, I probably should just try to find the guys that are good. Jordan Poyer, safety. Shaq Barrett, to me, that's a guy that I would want on this Buffalo Bills football team. 1 year, $9 million. I probably would rather have him than some other players at time for big numbers. Aaron Brewer, who's the center. Jordan Brooks, Anthony Walker, Robert Jones is a guard. Nick Needham, defensive back. Jonnu Smith, tight end. Jonnu Smith is an interesting signing because Jonnu Smith was a Bills, I'll say, destroyer when he was with the Titans. And then he went to New England and vanished. Like, I was, before the Bills were talking 12 personnel, I was very much like, you're going to give me Bill Belichick twice a year, and they're going to run at me Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith, and I got to defend that? Are you insane? And then it never materialized into anything, probably because of their quarterback situation. But that's pretty much who their signings are. They are looking at Odell Beckham, which I would hate to see that happen. And then they've got a lot of injuries on the defensive line, specifically at defensive end. They have no real pass rushers. Jalen Phillips is going to be recovering. He's not going to be ready for the beginning of the season. And then Bradley Chubb is oft injured. Is that the best way to say that? Oft injured. Any thoughts on the Dolphins real quick?
Dolphins they've done a good job on a few spots, but again, it almost seems like they've taken some chances with some players of age. They've taken some chances on some players with injury and maybe have had flashes of greatness that have become mediocre and are trying to catch that magic again. Almost like they've tried to sign guys for one last haymaker. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like they're going to go ahead and try to build this team to win this year and then see where they can go. And then after that, you know, dump a bunch of guys and maybe try to rebuild a little bit. But it's almost like they brought in guys to try to win this thing this season.
Right, exactly. Last team in the AFC East, the Patriots, which I borderline don't want to talk about, but we'll talk about at least, I'll give you their key signings real quick. First of all, the Patriots don't have a quarterback. I mean, they've got a right. couple guys, but I know that you guys don't like it. You former John and you don't like it when fans, like myself, use disparaging terms for guys that probably aren't fit to play, start NFL games, right? There's words okay. that you guys don't yes. like. So I'll refrain from using those words, but they do not have a, let's say, a rosterable starting QB1. Is that a fair way of saying it?
You can say they don't have a quarterback. It's you don't have to.
Well, they do. They technically you know. Have quarterbacks on the roster, but
Fina's not here tonight, so we don't need to throw in the crossword puzzle words. Okay, I mean they don't have a viable starting quarterback
for you being a pass aggressive sarcastic ass. Fina is very nice. Is that true? Like he's just a nice guy, right?
Yes, he is. He's only a sarcastic ass to people he likes.
Passive aggressive, but he's always passive aggressive when he does it. Yes. He's not like in your face sarcastic ass like me.
Exactly.
It's more yes. passive. Sorry. Sorry, my bad.
Sarcasm and passive aggressiveness is a sign of intelligence.
Very much so. Yes. There yeah. You your brain works quicker than other people's at that point in time, especially when people don't get it. When people don't get the joke, right. you're like, oh, I'm like three steps ahead of everybody.
Exactly.
So the Patriots, cornerback Alec Austin, wide receiver Kendrick Bourne, tight end Farrell Brown, offensive tackle Trent Brown. That's a big signing in my opinion. Special teams ace Cody Davis. Kyle Duggar has signed with the Patriots, safety Kyle Duggar. It looks like running back Ezekiel Elliott has returned. Oh, this is their list of free agents. No, is this who they've signed? This might just be their list of free agents. I know they signed Kendrick Bourne. This website sucks. So sorry. I apologize. It does say re-signed. Okay, my bad. So I apologize. I just need to read the footer notes. So Ezekiel Elliott has not re-signed yet, just so everybody knows. Mike Gesicki was signed by the Bengals, so he is gone. Hunter Henry has re-signed. That's funny too, is that like Mike Gesicki ended up there with Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry, and it's like they three-headed freaking monster at wide receiver, and they didn't use any of them efficiently. Jalen Mills was signed by the Giants, so he's gone. Jalen Reagor has resigned, wide receiver Jalen Reagor. Josh Uche, who I think the world of, Josh Uche. He did not have a good season last year. I think he was injured for some of it. But Josh Uche also resigned with the New England Patriots. And then linebacker Mack Wilson Sr. was signed by the Cardinals. Offensive tackle Tyron Wheatley Jr. re-signed with the Patriots. Who else we got here? Austin Hooper, tight end Austin Hooper has re-signed or has been signed, I should say. KJ Osborne has been signed. And that's pretty much it. They've lost. I think the biggest loss, they've got Devontae Parker, who's gone. Mike Gesicki is gone, as I mentioned. And then Mac Jones, which I don't think they're going to miss Mac Jones a whole lot.
No.
So what are your thoughts quickly on the Patriots? Because I know you've got thoughts specifically around their head coach.
I don't know. Obviously, they went from a I guess the word you would say would be dictator, a no-nonsense, a cold head coach, a very critical head coach, a head coach that was very much reliant upon the player doing his job. Okay, how many times do you hear that out of New England, out of Foxborough? Do your job, Belichick's mm-hmm. big saying. And they've almost gone to the, I don't know, I use this term a little bit loosely, but almost the Dion model. Mm-hmm. Okay, they hire a former player, a guy that has no head coaching experience that I know of.
Right, right.
A former player, kind of a rah-rah guy, a locker room guy when he was there, much like they've done in Las Vegas in signing Antonio Graham.
Right, right.
So it's almost like they're trying to catch that lightning in a bottle to spark the team with a guy that the players can relate to. Because I think that if you look at the New England Patriots over the last 3 years, I guess you could say after Tom Brady, Belichick is not very relatable, right? And they're trying to catch that energy, that guy that's relatable to the players, the guy that say, I did it, and you know, build with youth and try to build a championship team that way. That's the way I see New England going.
Do you feel like that's something that can work in the NFL with professionals? It feels like to me with college players, young kids, not young. I'm using the word kids. I'm 50, and right. I know you're older than me. But like young kids, it seems like you can do the rah-rah thing, right? I've read, you know, Urban Meyer. I know Urban Meyer is not a popular name in sports right now, but Urban Meyer wrote a book called Above the Line. And I've read some other things that, as it talked about, just like trying to connect with Gen X players or Gen X people like you and me versus trying to connect with the players of today, and like how that language has to change and the way the communication has to change. But there's a rah-rah ability when you talk about college, right?
Right.
Do you feel like that can work with dudes that are like rolling up in a Lamborghini, cashing $200,000 paychecks?
I think so. I think it can to some extent. I think a lot of
$200,000 right. weekly paychecks.
You have to look at today's player, okay? Today's player thrives on positivity. Today's player thrives on getting patted on the back. Today's player doesn't really respond well to the constant grind and constantly being told that, you know, they've got to do better. They want somebody to lift them up. It's the social media generation, right? They create an image of themselves, and then they go to social media and just, you know, you've seen it amongst, you know, our own fan base. Somebody will put something out there and then everybody lifts them up. And that's what they're used to. I'm not saying that they don't thrive in structure. I'm not saying they don't thrive in discipline. But what I am saying is the days of the grind 24/7 with this new generation, it doesn't always work. Now, that being said, when you have a team that's not doing what they're supposed to be doing, when you have a team that is not, you know, playing at the level they should, and you're losing games, can you flip the switch and get those guys to do what you want them to do and get on them without them saying, man, what are you talking about? We're boys, you know, you've been loving us up, and now all of a sudden you're bringing me down. Right. And that's the fine line with all this. That's the fine line.
The one of the best quotes I read about a coach, and it was in a leadership book. I don't remember which one off the top of my head, but it just talked about reaching people in a different generation, an older generation. And to your point, like, you know, you're not good enough. You know, you need to be better. Like, you can play better. I know you can play better. Like, be the best. Do your job. Like, all that right. stuff that Bill Belichick says. And it's a stark contrast even between Belichick and Marv Levy, and that might be an interesting conversation here.
You know, we've talked about it on here before, Joe. I mean, you know, I don't even know if you can say it's the college model, because we've seen the college model completely blow up.
Yeah, but the college model is the next part. So it was a head coach that said, that's how I used to coach. I don't remember who the head coach was or is off the top of my head, but he said, I used to be that guy that was like, you got to be better. Like, you've got to be great. You know, we're gonna strive for perfection and settle for excellence, which is a right. phrase that I've used in my life. And he said, I had to change my vernacular to literally bringing said play, because they wouldn't receive it. And they couldn't grasp that I was trying to tell them, well, you're great. I need you to be great. Hang on, let me finish. I need you to be great because I see greatness in you. Like, I see greatness in you. I know you can be better. So it turned into, I had to bring the player in, show him video, and say literally things such as, Jerry, do you see the way that you played? And you would answer, yes.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you gave your best effort, or could you have been better?
Right.
Right. And then the hook was, do you think the way that you're playing is ever going to win us a championship? And then they would respond, no, I don't think it will. And he's like, can we get better? Yes. It's just like the conversation and the right. dialogue completely changed from the way that you and I, the directness.
When I talk about, that college model, I think of Chip Kelly. Okay. Mm-hmm. Chip Kelly having nutritionists make specific smoothies for each player. Chip Kelly giving sleep monitors to his players and telling them they have to check them in and you have to have this much sleep. Chip Kelly, you know, every waking moment of the day was accounted for. And that is the college model. I mean, in college, their days are basically laid out for them. There's really no thinking. You go to class, you go do football. It's pretty simple.
Right.
And that's kind of what I was saying. And you can't do that with 30-some-year-old men. I mean, you can't tell Jason Peters that you need to sleep 9 hours a night or 10 hours a night. This man's been in the league for 15 years at that point, and he's won multiple Pro Bowls doing it the way he was doing it. You're not going to tell him how to do it differently. So that's, you know, that's kind of what I'm looking at.
No, I agree. And we're a little off script right now, which is great.
Right.
But it literally goes back to Madden. So, like, the release of Madden always coincides around week 6, week 7, week 8 of the NFL season. And there were several years where I felt like the Bills would come out of the box hot, super hot, and they were, like, crushing everybody, 4-0, 3-0, 5-1. And then Madden would get released, and the Bills, like, would start sucking, like, sucking ASS horribly. And the funny thing is my opinion, my feeling, my fear got verified or validated when they were talking about Kyler Murray. And then you could see it in Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray would be great in the beginning of the season.
The demise of an NFL franchise because of Madden is a little far-fetched, but I'll let you run with that.
You of all people know the amount of time it takes to study your opponent versus being distracted as a young 20-year-old man, right?
I'll let you run with that. All right, let's get back on task because
not buying it.
This is getting ready to go straight into a decline.
They wanted to write it in the contract that he couldn't play video games during the season. Dude,
straight down. Let's stay on task.
You were not on any of the teams that I'm talking about. You were not on any of the
New England. We talked about New England. Who are we talking about next?
Jerry's like, I'm out. I'm not doing it. So that's all four of them. So we've talked about all four rosters. So getting back, we've got a couple minutes left, probably 5-10 minutes left. And what we're just trying to surmise is where does each team stand kind of in the division right now with the roster additions, the roster subtractions, right? Where they're at, the holes that they have. So we're just looking for who's on top of the AFC East right now with the understanding that we got the draft coming up, we got the finish of free agency coming up, and then obviously we have to play the season.
I put it to you this way. I quoted him earlier today, the great philosopher Ric Flair. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I learned a lot from watching promos of Ric Flair throughout my life as a young man. And you know, there's somehow
that's valid, but
there's many, but I will go back to what Ric Flair used to always say: to be the man, you got to beat the man, right?
It's true.
And it's that simple. And you know what? If you're the Jets and you're the New England Patriots and you're the Miami Dolphins, I'll give you another Ric Flair quote. And it is as such, you know, you don't have to like it, but you better learn to love it, baby, because it's the best thing going today. And that's the way I feel about it. The Bills are the team to beat in the AFC East. They will be the team to beat until somebody does it. Right. I think that Miami has done a good job with some of the signings. Like I said, I think they filled some holes. The holes they filled were to try to combat against the Buffalo Bills.
Well, the biggest loss I didn't even mention, which was Christian Wilkins. Like they lost. Christian Wilkins was a Buffalo Bills menace. Josh Allen. When the game clock isn't running, Josh Allen is gracious to everybody. But during the football game, Josh Allen does not like Christian Wilkins.
No. So Wilkins moves on, but they do get Shaq Barrett. You know, they've tried to do some things. And, of course, the Poyer signing is as much of an annoyance as anything.
Yes.
But, you know, the team that I still look at in the AFC East, and I looked at them last year, you know, I can't tell the future. I didn't pull the magic eight ball out and say that he was going to get hurt in 17 seconds. But I still look at the New York Jets as the team that is the biggest threat to the Buffalo Bills. And the reason I do is because of that defense and because of Aaron Rodgers and the weapons they have. Now, they've got to bolster the offensive line through the draft. They got to get better up front because, as we saw last year, he's nothing but a play away from not being out there again.
Right.
So the one thing that I will say about the Jets that has been interesting, and it's been reported this offseason at the ownership meetings, and the head coaches are down there as well, Salah and Woody Johnson did have beef at the ownership meetings. It was reported they had a pretty heated discussion down
there.
I'm sure that Woody's growing impatient because of the money he's spending and the results that he's getting. And Salah, obviously, as the head coach, is the he's a public enemy number one as far as that goes. He's the target of all, you know, frustration. So you need to look at that as well, especially if they have some issues and they start losing ball games early. Is there a move made pretty quick at the head coaching spot of the New York Jets?
I can't see it. I can't see Robert Saleh going anywhere. Like, I just I can argue reasons why he should go.
I can't either. I like Saleh. I think Saleh is a great coach. But again, Woody Johnson is in the middle of it. And when you're spending that kind of money and you're not getting the results, I don't care how much a coach is likable, somebody's got to take the fall.
So getting to my points, and this is the crux, right? This is the whole point of this episode, right? So we're at the meat of the episode, and your takes were on point and great. And I know that I agree with you. For me, in order to be the man, you got to beat the man, right? Yes, 100%, even though it's scripted in professional wrestling. But that's a different conversation because the NFL's not scripted.
It's fake.
The NFL's not scripted, right,
Jerry? There's a lot of people that think the NFL's scripted.
I was asking you. You played. The NFL's not scripted, right, Jerry? Mm-hmm. Don't shrug your shoulders.
When you're a member of that fraternity, Joe, you don't tell.
I don't know. All right, the show might be over. Anyway, for me, it's about Josh Allen. As long as the Buffalo Bills have Josh Allen as their quarterback, whoever's got the best, it comes down to the Tom Brady conversation. There were probably a couple years where the Patriots didn't have the best roster in the AFC East, but they had Tom Brady. And I think we're discovering through even the release of Bill Belichick that Brady was probably a bigger part of that conversation of why they were winning than even Belichick was. So for me, it's about Josh Allen. Now, Josh Allen is going to have to morph. He's going to have to take another step. We talked about OTAs. One of the conversations I asked a couple of the Bills players today was basically, what's it going to be like going into OTAs missing five of your captains? Five. Like, that's a big number. It's one thing to roll a captain or two, five of them, and a couple of them serious leaders in that locker room. And literally the conversation was, yeah, we're going to see. Like, that's a good question, and we're going to find out who kind of steps up in a void of leadership.
I don't know what the weather's going to be like in Buffalo tomorrow, but
it's going to be gorgeous.
Okay. Well, it's going to be really gorgeous over one Bills drive. Mm-hmm. And the reason I say that is there is going to be a levity about that building tomorrow. I know nobody wants to believe it, but the fact that the elephant in the room has been handled.
Right.
And production, skill set, greatest ever, whatever, set all that aside.
Yeah.
When you take that kind of tension out of a building that already has tension, enough tension of its own, right? And you take that tension out of the building, there's going to be a levity about it. And I think that's something that's going to be interesting as we move through the offseason into the season and, you know, and training camp and all of that. How does this Bills team look, with maybe the distractions removed from the scenario?
Yeah, agreed. So getting back to who I think is number one, for me, it's the Bills with Josh Allen. That does not mean that I'm saying it's a cakewalk. I feel like the AFC East got stronger and scarier for the Buffalo Bills to include not only what they did, the Jets and the Dolphins specifically, but the losses that the Bills have taken and have to fill. It'll be interesting to see how the season plays out. But on paper right now, I've got the Bills number one. So with that, we're going to get out of here in about a half a second. Rank for me those four teams in order, if the season started today, how they would end 17 games down the road. So number one, number two, number three, number four.
Buffalo Bills number one, New York Jets two, Miami Dolphins three, and the New England Patriots four.
I think we're in agreement on one and four, 100%. The Bills I have number one as well. I feel like the Jets are just snake bit. Like, there's just the Jets are – they're just the Jets, right? I mean, there's just a –
something's got to give at some point, man.
You think
something's got to give at some point,
but
I don't know. Maybe it's my unabashed belief in Aaron Rodgers, the most polarizing individual in the NFL.
It's a great place to put your belief from a quarterback standpoint.
Right. Like Aaron, I think he is that good still. If they can block for him, they're going to be really – they're going to be a problem.
Right, right.
Because defensively, they already are a problem.
So give me that Dolphins offensive line – or offense, and then effectively – the retooling of the defense that they're going to. I was going to say retooling of the defensive line, retooling of that defense, and then the Jets. But I think it's going to be close. I think those two teams could end up either tied record-wise or within a game of each other. Mm-hmm. And I don't think the Bills squeak out with like a 3 or 4 game lead. I think the Bills, if they win the East, they're a game up, right?
It's going to be another bloodbath like it was last year.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to come down to the last couple of weeks.
And the Patriots are going to be thinking about the draft of around week 5.
Right. They're going to be, you talk about a levity in a building. My goodness.
Right.
So for sure.
So we're a little bit over time, but this was a fun conversation. It's super hard to get into this rhythm of short shows.
Yes, it is.
It's just, so we're struggling, but we're going to get there before the season starts. Just one of those things. But Jerry, before I get us out of here, any final comments, thoughts on OTAs or on just the roster conversation we had today?
I really wish I gave myself a chance to come up with some catchy saying for what OTA stands for, other than
organized team tech,
obvious time assault or something of that nature. All that's done is to give the boys an opportunity to get together and have a couple pops and go eat some good wings at the bar bill or something
while they're benching and squatting.
Yes, right. Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
It gets him back in town. It keeps him in football mind, I guess, is what it does at the end of the
exactly.
day. Exactly. Excellent. Well, I'm glad that you were able to join me. I was a little nervous. I apologize.
You got to understand, dude. I got this mind thing going on, man. You know, so sometimes it happens. I mean,
I think we're all there. But
like my friends call me Poe from Kung Fu Panda. I mean, it's kind of how I roll.
That's funny. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you have been tuned into the Overreaction Buffalo Sports Show on the Overreaction. It's so weird to say that. The Overreaction Sports Network. Like, I'm still used to saying Buffalo Rumblings. It has been so good to have you guys with us tonight for this episode. Again, please like, please subscribe. If you're watching on YouTube right now, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. If you're listening in podcast form, please subscribe to whatever podcast platform you're on. But, Tuesday, I have a list and I don't have it with me. Tuesday, we are going to have On the Beat. For the On the Beat show, we're going to have Ryan Talbot this week. We're going to talk about OTAs and just some stuff like that. Next week, for a draft special, we're going to go all week long next week, or in 2 weeks, I should say, for
yes, sir.
Running into the draft. We're going to have a Monday show, Tuesday show, and a Wednesday show. Sunday will be Overreaction Buffalo Sports. Monday, you're going to have
RJ Young, national college football correspondent from Fox Sports, will be with us. We're going to talk exclusively wide receivers.
Yep. Tuesday, we're going to have Joe Marino on the show from the Locked On Bills podcast, which I know he's not a Bills beat reporter, but when you're talking about scouting and you're talking about draft players, he's probably next to Mel Kiper, the best guy to have. And then Wednesday, we're working on some stuff as far as that goes as well. You think you can maybe get Zig, right? Zig Fricassi?
Yeah, we'll get Zig Fricassi on at some point, and we'll reach out to him as well as others. I'm excited about it, man. The turnout's been great. People are excited about coming on with us.
Yeah.
And we'll continue to bring you the best Bills content we can.
Yep. We are booked. And then Jay Skursky will actually be joining us for On the Beat from the Buffalo News the week after the draft to kind of talk about and break down just the press conferences as the Bills have drafted and stuff like that. But again, ladies and gentlemen, you've been tuned into the Overreaction of Buffalo Sports Show. For myself, for Jerry Strosky, for John Fina, it's been so good to have you. We love you guys. Appreciate you. Tune in to On the Beat on Tuesday. But yeah, go Bills.
Go Bills.
Go Bills.